Hello, hello. This is JT and welcome to my podcast. It's Just a Belief. Today, I'm sharing with you the three most common things I've witnessed over the past year. I always tend to go back and look at what I'm learning, what comes out often of the sessions. After more than 500 something one-on-one sessions, and then, you know, around, I think, 40 group sessions, I see recurrent things. And I want to share with you what I've learned. As you know, I'm always so amazed about how the subconscious mind works, and I learn every session, I learn something. And I wanted to share it with you. Before we deep dive into those three things, I wanted to invite you to my website, hypnocoach.ca, so you can sign up, receive my newsletter every week, almost every week, and invitations to free events.
She lives in the wonderful world of the state of hypnosis and finds hidden gems in your subconscious mind. She laughs, she loves, she breathes, goes deep, transforms, transitions, and laughs again. More than anything, she knows that it's just a belief.
I think the first thing, if there's one thing to remember, is that the subconscious mind gives us the information that we need to have in order for us to move forward in the most logical, sensible way. I'm always surprised, even though I see it every client, but I'm always so amazed to see how the subconscious mind brings you the information in a logical order. It's like you need to have that bigger piece and then that other piece and then that other piece and then that other piece to see the whole puzzle so that it really answers your questions and it really gets you to get to your objective. The subconscious mind really is out there going into what I call your warehouse. It's like entering a big, big warehouse where everything has been stored. Everything, sensation, thoughts, it's all there. You know, unless you ask for it, it might not come up. So that's why when we directly go and ask for the information, we're sometimes very surprised at what we get. But the thing that I am sure of now, after so many sessions, is that it will give you the information you need to have in order to solve what you want to solve. But the order in which the information will come, or the keys that I call will come, may surprise you. It may not be what you anticipated. So be very open. And I always say, you know, this type of work, you don't need to play brilliant. You don't have to have the right answers. You're not in school. It's really about the spontaneity, this being spontaneous. So often I will say, you know, I'll cut you off, I'll ask you a question, I'll bring you to another place, I'll ask you another question. It's really what comes up spontaneously that will contain the information you need to have. And sometimes it's words, colors, metaphors, sensation, but we always get there and put all the pieces of the puzzle together. And people always say the same at the end. They always tell me, oh my God, now that I see it, it makes so much sense. That's the first thing, really. And I think I said it probably a year ago when I did the same thing. I did kind of a wrap up. I think I say that every day. Your subconscious mind. If you start working with your subconscious mind, leveraging the strengths, the information, the logical way, you will be amazed at the information you will get. So that's the first thing. The second thing is you really, really know what you have to work on. That is always the thing, right? Some people will say, okay, Jenny-Lynn, I'm not sure really what it is. But yet, in the first sentences or in the questionnaire they have answered, they will have already stated really what they need to work on. So trust yourself. What comes first often is the right thing. And sometimes I will have an idea because of I have read the questionnaire, the enter session questionnaire, or in our conversation, I've heard you say the same words in different ways or the same words many times. I know there's a reason why we need to go back to this word and see if that's not part of the question we're going to ask your subconscious mind, because every session we have a very precise question. We have a very precise angle in which we're going to dig for the information. So it's not, you know, sometimes it will be searching for keys, but for a specific objective. So often it happens, you know, once in a while people will say, oh, I don't know really. And then we go back. And then sometimes I have ideas and I will say, okay, well, you know, based on what you told me, based on what I read, this is what came out the most. What do you think about this one? And often, soon enough, when we go under hypnosis, if we have deviate from really what subconsciously the person wants to work, it will bring us back there. So many times, especially when I was starting, I was sometimes trying to help people find the angle, and maybe I was going into what I was observing, but sometimes hearing the client say, but now really I just go with whatever the client says, because I really see that you are the specialist of you. You really, really know what you want to work on from a subconscious perspective. Sometimes it's not there consciously, but you will have used words, examples, metaphors, or some sentences that you will have said a few times that will give us the cues. And then it's for us to really organize the sentence so that we go and ask specifically what we want to have. So this is really why, you know, you really, really are the specialist of you. You really know what you want to work on. And often it will come out in the few words you will say at the beginning, or a word you will repetitively say, or something that you have written. But if you go into another direction, undoubtedly what always happens is that the subconscious mind brings us to that place where you really, really want to work. And then the person sometimes will say under hypnosis, yeah, it came out a lot, right? So the person will say, yeah, in our first conversation, that came a lot. So follow your instinct and go for what's most obvious to you. And then the subconscious mind will give you the pieces you need to have. The third thing I have noticed is how the subconscious mind is astute to bring you back to familiar, right? We're so wired to go back to the old familiar because this is where we feel secure. This is where we know the information. This is where we can keep safe. This is where we don't have to deploy a lot of energy because it's familiar. So all our, you know, systems are wired to function in the familiar. So when you start create new neuropath and create a new familiar, don't be surprised, you know, if you find yourself going back. You can go back an hour, a minute, a day, you know, it's just the old familiar. And then that often comes also in terms of people will find, they will write to me, oh, there's a word in the recording that I just can't stand this word. It doesn't relate to me. And then soon enough, you know, we'll go in and deep dive under hypnosis and see what this word means for the person. And it has a big resonance. And it's one of the key, actually, that will help the person resolve what she wants to resolve, you know, get to the objective that he wants to get. So definitively, listen to those defense mechanisms. Often they will lie into some subconscious belief we have, like things don't last. So I'm afraid now I'm doing so well, but I'm afraid it's not going to last. Or this word, the sentence, the recording, it's too fast, it's too slow, it's too this, it's too that. Most of the time, it's just that the changes are occurring and you're starting to be discomfortable. And we're going to talk about it in the next episode, this sitting in the discomfort, but it's just about learning a new familiar. So defense mechanism will come, sabotage, beliefs about, you know, your capability to change. I'm too old to change. Things don't last with me. All those beliefs, you know, they might come to the surface to keep you in the familiar. But once you know that, you know, you just say, okay, right? It's just the old familiar trying to keep me there, but I'm creating a new familiar, and it's to spend more and more time in that new familiar to make it so pleasant and so agreeable that going back in the old familiar just feel not good. So you're not staying there. And it happens to me that there's one frame of mind that I get into that's a very, very old wired melancholy, sadness when I was a child. And sometimes I will slip into that kind of sadness, melancholy. I don't know how to say that word in English, but I'll be melancholic. I'll be, and then I slide back into that. And then I notice, oh no, this is the old little Jenny Lynn that was in her room and felt sad. I'm no longer that girl. Now I'm in a new path. Sometimes I will stay there a little bit just because it reminds me of old me. And it sometimes reminds me also of how much I've changed. And I'm not living in a sadness and melancholy anymore as I used to when I was a child. Actually, hardly ever now. It happens. And so it's just an old neuropath just coming to the rescue, thinking that I need this, but I know that this is not where I want to live, and this is not how I want to live. I want to live in my new familiar. Actually, I am living in my new familiar most of the time. But just like anybody, sometimes the old familiar comes back to me, and I slide for a minute, sometimes a whole day. The last time it was a 2 days. It was so awful. Like I felt really sad, bored, just like when I was a child. And then I just went for a walk, took a shower, a cold shower, called a friend, was very energetic, got out of that and went back to my new neuropath, the one where I live now and I've been living, which is not the new, which is really now not so new anymore, but is really where I live most of the time. So voila, I hope this is helpful for you. If you want to find out more about how I work, if you want to see if this is for you, you can always book a 30 free minutes call and we can discuss together and see if this is for you. And until next time, as you know, it's just a belief.